Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Eat Sleep Podcast Repeat. My name is Dave Taylor. Thanks for checking this out today as we review night one of WrestleMania 40. What a spectacle it was. So thanks for checking us out. Eat Sleep Podcast Repeat. We're out of Virginia, part of a couple of radio stations, FM 99 and 106.9 to Fox, a couple of rock stations, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, part of Virginia. And you can find us on the website at fm99.com or 106.9fox.com and go to the media tab. You'll see ESPN Wrestling. You can also find us anywhere you listen to the podcast, like you're doing that right now, and just search ESPN Wrestling. Stitcher, iTunes, Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, TuneIn, all there. You can just even Google ESPN Wrestling Podcast and we'll show right up and you can subscribe to us and follow. When we get new episodes up. Recent episodes include interviews with Becky Lynch, Sean Durkin, writer, director of The Iron Claw, and more. And also Facebook and Twitter at ESPR 99. Again, thanks for checking us out. My name is Dave Taylor, and what a weekend it was for WrestleMania. And today we're going to review night one of WrestleMania 40. The build to a lot of the shows has been pretty good. And we had the opening match, which was for the Women's World Championship, and that was Rhea Ripley defending her title against Becky Lynch. And I think the intros were really cool for this, especially Becky Lynch, because it had the whole book theme to it. You know, she's on the New York Times bestseller list, number 3 on the combined and ebook nonfiction chart. She's number 4 in the hardcover nonfiction. So, definitely getting a lot of attention with her book and everything else. So a really cool introduction for that. Rhea Ripley had Motionless and White play her introduction. And I don't know what it is. I like the band, but like it, and they're into it, but it's just, I don't know, maybe because it's like the way the theme song is, it just doesn't come off well. It was still better than what she had a couple of years ago at WrestleMania, and I forget what band did her intro. That was a bit rough. But cool intros for both ladies. Heck of a match back and forth with this. There's a cool sequence when Rhea hit the Northern Lights suplex on the Becky, and Becky countered and everything, you know, and they each kicked out either. And this is like the theme of the night because, Becky kicked out of the Riptide, Rhea kicked out of the Manhandle Slam. And that was kind of like the theme of the weekend of people kicking out of finishers, which maybe they needed to dial that back a little bit. Rhea did get the win, putting the Riptide, putting Becky on the turnbuckles and then hitting another one and finishing her off right there. A clean match, which was kind of like the theme for most of the weekend. And Rhea Ripley retains. No, it was a great match, by the way. Fantastic match. One of the two good matches of the first night of WrestleMania. And the one thing about it was that there wasn't a lot of suspense, but this, it told a good story and everything else. As much as I thought it would be cool for Becky to win, it didn't make sense. And it seemed pretty obvious. There's a lot in store for Rhea. And Rhea's one of the few champions, and Becky's on his list, to go two consecutive Manias being a champion. She won at the previous one and still a champion here. So, not bad at all. Next match of the night, that was the six-pack challenge. That was all the teams here. Of course, you had DIY, you had Awesome Truth. You had A-Town Down Under, New Catch Republic, New Day, challenging the Judgment Day for the tag titles in the six-pack ladder match. Now, this is what it was done here. This is a little interesting. You had both pairs of belts up there. So you had the title split and the SmackDown titles and then the Raw titles. So each will now have its own brand, something that should have been done a long time ago and something they finally fixed in this situation. And I think what was a shock to me is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller won the SmackDown championships not too long into the match. Here's the thing. I think Grayson Waller, set a record for quickest ladder climb to claim a championship because he got up there pretty quick and Austin Theory was holding the ladder. And they were celebrating, and then those dudes got the crap kicked out of them. Yeah, they got destroyed. The New Day, New Catch Republic, Grayson Waller going through a ladder and stuff. It was some pretty brutal spots in there. It's a car crash kind of match. So it was fun in that regards. And then you had the moment in the match where R-Truth wanted the hot tag from The Miz. But, finally, after all these years, many, many, many years, R-Truth got his WrestleMania moment and he helped dispose of Damian Priest in the ring, goes up and climbs the ladder and ends up with the Raw Tag Team Championship with him and Miz And you can just see it like an emotional, you know, R-Truth in that situation, you know, and cool for the Miz too. I mean, that dude's gotten more respect over the years, well deserved. And that, in R-Truth, is just a gosh darn national treasure. Ever since he's come back, the dude has just been so well loved. You know, he was missed when he was out, you know, and people, I think, worried. I was worried that when he got hurt, he wasn't going to come back. But some crazy moments in the match, you know, and of course, you had, you know, Johnny Gargano with the hat, you know, had the Triple H gear out there, the super kick, and then you had, you know, Ciampa doing the pedigree and stuff. But yeah, but there was a lot going on with that particular match. And JD McDonald coming in, taking a big bump towards the end as well, trying to help out Judgment Day. So you thought like, oh man, so Rhea wins, and then Finn Balor and Damian Priest lose both of the tag team championships. And you know, of course, that will change come tomorrow with titles and everything else. But a fun match. You know, there's a lot of car crash kind of stuff in there. You got that. Next match, you had Andrade and Rey Mysterio taking out Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. And I love the fact that they're in the match. Like, they address, like, oh, Carlito did not seem happy with the change that that Andrade was in this match. Andrade, by the way, and Rey Mysterio in this match, a double high cross body, which was, holy cow, that was pretty cool. I haven't seen that before. Andrade's dragon screw move was pretty cool as well. The spinning elbow. It was a good highlight for Andrade, and I hope, like, you know, I'm saying things need to pick up for him because obviously he got a Mania match since his return. But there's a lot he's got there going on, and in some ways, you know, he's kind of reunited with Selena Vega in that particular moment as well. But there's a lot in that match, and of course, you have you know, no surprise that LWO and Legado del Fantasma got all involved. And everything else, and of course, you know, the launching of one of the guys into the ring. So, you know, Berto flying across and everything else. But, yeah, a lot going on in that particular match. Dominic Mysterio went for a chair, and he was stopped by two masked guys. And it was a little confusing at first because, like, what's going on here? But it turned out to be the masked guys were Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson, who were, you know, Philadelphia Eagles at one time or another. So there's a lot going on in this match. It was okay for what it was. Maybe the second weakest match of the night, but a lot going on there. It was just a lot of outside stuff that just, like, it didn't stop for, like, it seemed like 5 minutes in that particular situation. Next up was a match that was highly anticipated, but kind of a letdown in some ways, the Uso brothers fighting each other. And it was more of like what it seemed like, you know, the story than the match itself, which was kind of a disappointment in some ways. And, you know, I mean, there's one part where, you know, Jimmy kind of acted like, oh, he wanted to, you know, reunite or whatever else. And then, you know, that didn't happen. But the match itself, you know, it just became like a super kick back and forth kind of situation. And probably the weakest match of the night, which is a shame because this is like the highest anticipated match in this. But Jey Uso wins, defeating Jimmy Uso in the match that we definitely deserved more of. Then you had the six-woman tag team match, Jade Cardenkel, Bianca Belair, and Naomi taking on Damage Control, which of course featured the Kabuki Warriors, Kairi Sane, and Asuka, and Dakota Kai. And, yes, and it became a highlight reel for Jade in this match, which was everybody was expecting. But everybody looked great in this match. You had Bianca Belair, the moonsault. Of course, Jade Cargill hitting a backbreaker on Kairi Sane, and just some great sequences there at the end and stuff. And a highlight for everybody in that particular match. And no surprise, I think, you know, Dakota Kai getting pinned by Jade Cargill. I think that was called in the podcast with Sean Hood and myself as we did a preview of WrestleMania 40 a couple of days ago. But, yeah, Jade pinning in that match, you know, and, like, people are like, ah, Bianca Belair, you know, the title match last year had this. Look, that's the way it's going to go. And right now she's in the program with Jade and Naomi, which I think will probably lead to a match at some point. You got to get Jade established and everything else. And, you know, look, Becky Lynch last year was in a, you know, six-woman tag match, and look where she ended up in the card this year. So it's all going to vary every year. But a fun match for what it was. You had the missed spots from Asuka accidentally spraying mist into Sane's eyes, which led to the ending of that particular match. And you think of the angle, it's really hard to tell what happened at first. And then the camera caught it, and you could see that Sane was blinded by the mist. And then you had a match, which, man, this was a really good match. You had, Sami Zayn challenging Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. You know, you had Chad Gable in the back wishing Sami luck, and then you had Kevin Owens out there wishing Sami luck as he made his way to the ring. And holy cow, very physical match. Everything else, you know, it's really weird because, like, Gunther kicking out of a Huluva kick, you know, the first time and everything else, and then Sami kicking out of the power bombs on multiple occasions, even trying to, put him to sleep basically and stuff. Kept kicking out, kept coming back and everything else. Gunther at times, you know, just got a little too cocky, everything else, taunting Sammy's wife and everything else. And then Sami hyped up, he hulked up, if you will, and everything else. And then you hit the super brain buster off the top turnbuckle. Holy cow. And then got two Huluva kicks in and pinned him. And the 666-day reign of Gunther came to an end by Sami Zayn, the same guy who had, of course, ended the Usos' long streak the previous year at WrestleMania. But those guys chopped the heck out of each other. It was just quite the match. And there you go. So it's interesting to see what's next. You know, if Gunther moves on to the World Championship programs, which could happen. Is he going to get a rematch? What's going to happen in that particular spot? You know, Chad Gable, does Chad go after Sami in this situation? A lot to figure out there. Match of night one, for sure, followed by the women's championship match. But, man, physical stuff. Congrats to Sami Zayn. And, he was hot last year. Kind of cooled off a little bit, but big night for him. And, of course, Gunther is going to be even bigger now that he doesn't have the title. And then he had the main event of the evening, the second longest main event in WrestleMania history. Only the one-hour Ironman match was longer. But the Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And the Rock basically in charge of this match, you know, telling the referee no countouts, no DQs, and everything else. So the Rock, you know, just started cheating. You know, didn't worry about consequences and everything else. And they fought all over the place. It was a physical match. And, you did see, you know, a lot going on at times where they fought in the crowd. You know, it went on for a long time. Well, it wasn't flat, but it was just a lot going on. And then you had the Rock pinning Cody Rhodes, the spot where Roman had him in the ring, and then had Cody in the ring, and the Rock hit Cody with the belt. And then he went down, he made a tag, Rock came in, people's elbow, match was over. But there was a lot. It was a lot of clutter for a match that was the main event of night one, because this was like, it was like more story than match in this situation. I don't think it needed to be 40 minutes long, but there was a lot in that particular situation. Also, a lot of words from The Rock as well that they had to censor and everything else. But I mean, nice seeing The Rock take some spots going through the table with the Rock Bottom, courtesy of Cody Rhodes, and the Reigns sparing Rollins. And just a lot in that match, but they definitely could have shortened it. We didn't need a 40 minute. That whole segment, the introductions and everything else, took 20 minutes to get there. And they had 44 minutes of match time. With that win, the stipulation for Sunday's main event of WrestleMania with Cody Rhodes challenging Roman Reigns, that it's under bloodline rules, anything goes in that particular match, which was kind of like the case with The Rock and Roman Reigns on that Saturday, with The Rock doing more of the cheating and everything else in that particular match. So that was WrestleMania Night 1. And, it's interesting because usually Night 1 is like the better night. Not the case this year, spoiler alert, because we'll get to Night 2 in our next episode. But I would say like a 7.5, 8 overall. I mean, it just felt flat a couple of times. The main event was too long. The Usos match, was okay. It could have been a lot better. I thought the tag team match with Rey Mysterio and Andrade and Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Could have been a little bit more, and he got clunky at the end, too much going on. The two title matches were great. The ladder match was fine. You know, and the six-woman tag match was a showcase for Jade, which it needed to be. And that was fine as well. But just, yeah, the main event, man, just too long in that situation. And then the Usos match. There you go. So that's night one of WrestleMania 40. And we'll have night two coming up in our next episode. Thanks for checking us out. We're Eat Sleep Podcast, Pete. And you can search ESPR Wrestling anywhere you listen to the podcast or Google us. And you can find us there to subscribe or on the website at fm99.com or 1069fox.com or on the media tab and Facebook and Twitter at ESPR99. Have a great day. My name is Dave Taylor. And as always, make sure you eat, sleep, podcast, and repeat.